Gaza. I welcome Ahmed Fuad Al-Khatib, writing most recently at The Atlantic magazine, "War is Coming Back to Gaza. Until Hamas is disarmed," goes the subhead, "Gaza has no future." Ahmed, at The Atlantic Council, is a senior fellow as well as a director, a lead in the Realign for Palestine project. Ahmed, I begin by admitting over these last weeks, I've talked to a number of voices in Israel and in the United States who followed the story very carefully, and everyone agrees with you. War is coming back. The ceasefire signed at Sharm el-Sheikh is not said to be worth much because of the intentions, the malign intentions of Hamas. The numbers the Israeli newspapers have given several times about what's left in less than 50% of Gaza, which is where Hamas is right now exercising what authority it has, is 20,000 fighters with a middle management in the lead. There's a lot of bad acting going on, even in Hamas, because the clans that occupy Gaza are pushing back as best they can. There are also said to be anti-Hamas militia in the less than half, 50% of Gaza. Your article identifies the future here, which looks extremely bleak. First of all, I'd like you to comment on what scale of force do you think Hamas has, and then what is the next step? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening to you, and thanks so much for speaking with me. I am in constant contact with folks on the ground in Gaza. I've maintained a robust network of contacts, friends, allies, even family members, close and extended, who have endured the past 2 years, the horror of life under Hamas, the horror of the war, what followed after October 7th. I've lost family members. And so I don't just speak about this from an analytical point of view. I speak about it based on a lot of information that is relayed to me from folks who are on the ground. And as far as some of the estimates of the numbers of Hamas, I have seen the high end that refers to 15 to 20,000 or 30,000, of which I am highly, highly skeptical that that is indeed the overall number of combat ready or combat effective troops that Hamas has. And there are other numbers and estimates behind the scenes that I have been able to see, in which it's believed that Hamas is offering between $20 to $25 a day to its fighters to carry rifles, to be a part of its activities, of its brigades, and that entails reestablishing command and control, reaccessing tunnels and repairing them, collecting unexploded munitions and recycling them into IEDs and rockets, being able to regain command and control over the disparate units that were decimated by 2 years of war. And so my personal estimate, and that of several people who do this for a living, including private contractors, including people in military intelligence of various governments and countries, put the combat effective number of Hamas militants right now at no more than 5,000, between 3,000 to 5,000. That number that is 20,000 may actually be inclusive of civilian police members that Hamas can call up, but that doesn't entail people that are going to go in tunnels, that are going to actually be able to fight off the Israeli military should it re-engage in the war.
Malcolm?
So we to get to the fundamentals here first, how broad is the support for Hamas amongst the people? You're saying that they offer them financial incentives to carry weapons. Obviously, they pay them, and there isn't any real business and industry left there in Gaza. So how much support? And if there were an election, would Hamas emerge? And if there isn't, would the division of Gaza in some way be a solution longer term?
Well, so this is a subject that is heavily contested, because we keep seeing these, I think, deeply inaccurate and deeply misleading polls that are conducted by Khalil Ishkaki, in which supposedly and allegedly, you know, the most recent ones is something like 51% of the sample in Gaza said that October 7th was the correct decision. And that just completely is at odds with not only some of the other pollsters that have done this, the ISP guys, Obadiah Shtiyya or James Zoghbi of Zoghbi Services, who have found overwhelming opposition to Hamas. But it's also at odds with just, it doesn't, there's, it defies logic. It's an assault on logic to suggest that people who are in line to use dirty bathrooms, people who've lost loved ones, people who lost their homes, their livelihoods, people who are, you know, stuck in tents, going back to the Stone Age, effectively, are somehow standing there and saying, wow, October 7th really did us a favor. And you got to keep in mind that Gazans are not just looking at October 7th as a horrendous catastrophe in and of itself, but they're looking at this in the through the prism of 20 years now since the withdrawal of Israeli settlements or the disengagement in 2005, and how catastrophic that entire the entirety of the last two decades have been. It has been a waste of tens of thousands of lives, tens of billions of dollars. The Palestinian National Project is in ruins. And so the people of Gaza are afraid. They're not stupid. They're afraid. Imagine trying to carry out surveys in North Korea and having people actually tell you what they really think. We saw the executions after the ceasefire. Gaza is not a free or a democratic society. And there's also just this kind of these indirect dynamics at play where whoever is conducting the survey, Hamas knows who's conducting the survey. Hamas knows how to indirectly manipulate and falsify the results. But also the IDF itself, a year ago, found documents in Gaza. The IDF, you would think, would actually, if the IDF were, like, you would think the IDF would actually have an interest in showing all Gazans as being pro-Hamas. But no, it showed that these surveys were systematically manipulated by Hamas to skew results by 20 to 30 points, percentage points. That is a massive, massive percentage of manipulation. So let's go back to this, just your question. If there is, I mean, like, I think there is a window of opportunity that unfortunately is going to keep narrowing if we don't seize the moment to allow, to seize the resentment of Gazans towards Hamas, towards the failure of the Palestinian leadership at large, both Hamas over the past two decades, but also the PLO and the PA and how Oslo really didn't materialize into the statehood dream that everyone was sold. And instead, Arafat ended up with the Second Intifada. That was a complete disaster for the Palestinian people. And so there is a moment right now for radical pragmatism. And that's the slogan that I use for Realign for Palestine, radical pragmatism, and the idea of multiple truths. Listen, people in Gaza are furious at Israel for the deadliest chapter in modern Palestinian history. However, if you put that aside, there is a real opportunity to present a new generation of Palestinian leadership.
Let's talk about disarmament when we come back, Ahmed. Ahmed Fuad Al-Khatib for The Atlantic Magazine, Malcolm Honlein.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.